If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Veteran CFL quarterback Jake Mayer joins us after signing with the Ottawa Redblacks in free agency. Jake, can you take us through your free agent process and then ultimately the decision to sign in the nation's capital?
Yeah, it was a lot longer process than I would have hoped, that's for sure. This is kind of my first go round of CFL free agency where you wait till the tampering window and you get to the finalization of all this stuff. And honestly, there was, right after we won the championship in Saskatchewan, there really wasn't any intention of moving on, really. It was just kind of just saying to myself, hey, I love the situation I'm in. I love the system. I love the coaching staff. I love the city. I love being in Saskatchewan. It was totally good for my family and I. And then just, personal things like just family situation and, having a dynamic where, my wife and my daughter don't necessarily get to travel with me as much as we would like, that played a pretty significant role in eventually deciding that, that I was going to end up moving on and, putting myself in a situation, where it takes care of my family a little bit better. Those are really decisions. That's really what they boil down to, especially with my daughter now and just making sure that it's worth it when dad leaves and goes and plays football.
Indeed. And it seemed like Jeremy O'Day, the Riders GM, left the door open for you to make that decision in terms of where they were going to go at backup quarterback. Did you feel like you got that opportunity at least to decide your future?
I absolutely did. Can't say enough good things about J.O., Coach Mace, Coach Mueller, all those guys. Those guys were in communication with me throughout the offseason, throughout the holidays. Those guys were everything that you would want as a pending free agent, as a guy that was, trying to weigh out his options, to the point where, they came to me with advice and helped me even with the whole process, beyond just, hey, this is a business and we're just going to tell you anything you want to hear to get you back here. I never felt that. I always felt like, hey, this is what we have laid out for you. This is where we think you fit. This is, the direction and what we're thinking as an organization. And they were totally upfront and honest. And then at the end of the day, the constant message was, if you're back here, we love you. We'll take care of you. We're all in. If not, we totally understand because we know what you have to do for you and your family. So that gave me a lot of real peace of mind. And, you know, ultimately that, you know, when you're doing business with people and that's the message you're getting from them, it actually makes it really difficult leaving those people just because you know how genuine they are. So I got nothing but nice things to say about those guys. Those guys were super genuine and super honest, and it allowed me to make the decision.
You mentioned a couple times now how important the family factor was. Can you provide some detail? Is it the fact that it's easier to fly from Arizona to Ottawa, or what are some of the behind the scenes thoughts there?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, again, like first 3 or 4 years in the league, you know, we didn't have our little girl with us. You know, it was really just Amanda and I, and, you know, we would do the back and forth, and some years we'd drive up, some years we'd fly up, and we'd live together. So we were never, you know, separated really, if you may. You know, things have changed over the years with our daughter now, and you know, Amanda's getting into her nursing program and she starts that up really soon. So last year was really the first go round of like, okay, you know, dad's going to go do his thing and go handle business and continue his dream plan. And, you know, Amanda stayed back to do her schooling, and we want to make sure that, you know, life's pretty normal and pretty easy for our daughter too. So, you know, she grows up around her grandparents and, you know, she's not being around, you know, different cities constantly. So, we're trying to keep life as simple as we can for her. And I think, you know, the Ottawa situation, you know, just with the deal that was presented and, you know, the dynamic that we're going to walk into, you know, it's a situation that does take care of my family better. And I think, you know, you get to certain stages of your career where that really does matter. And, you know, the CFL, you really do consider it year to year, and you want to make sure that, you know, you set yourself up, you know, for those next 12 months and, you know, appropriately. And again, it was a lot of conversations with Amanda and I, and, it just felt like, you know, as tough of a decision as it was, ultimately we feel pretty dang good about it.
If I'm reading between the lines, there was a financial factor here because Ottawa did make you the highest paid backup quarterback in the league. So am I right about the financial aspect?
Yeah, I think it's totally fair to say that it played a role. For sure. And then, and you know, it's, again, it's just a good situation to walk into, you know, with knowing Coach Dinwiddie over the years and, you know, kind of his role and me even being in Canada to begin with. I've always respected him from afar. You know, we've had our, you know, we've had our battles against each other. I don't want to say I completely know, but I have a good idea of what he's about. And, we shared, you know, a college coach. You know, when he was at Boise and when I was at UC Davis. So, you know, we have a little bit of background, a little bit of ties to each other one way or another. And I do know that he has, that he's always believed in me. And, you know, I felt that same belief from Burke as well. And again, it's just, you know, leaving Saskatchewan, not an easy decision. But where we're going and, you know, what the deal that they presented and, you know, kind of how they want to see this thing fit. Ultimately it was way too good to pass up.
Who was the college coach that you shared with Ryan Dinwiddie?
Yeah. So we both played for Coach Hawkins. So Dan Hawkins, when he was at Boise State and then he was with me at Davis, and he has some CFL ties as well.
Definitely. That's a unique connection between you, yeah. Hawkins and Dinwiddie. Yep. And Jake, if you can sort of take us through what it was like for you in the window, was it Ottawa from the jump? Did they come after you very quickly? Were other teams in the mix? If so, who were they? And just what was that whole process like?
Yeah, I would say, you know, when we got to the window, it was pretty quick, you know, just like, you know, you kind of have an idea, like, you know, when you kind of crystal ball and kind of just look at the landscape of the league, you know, when you're dealing with these positions, especially quarterback, you know, what's, you know, what might be out there. And they were the kind of the first ones in that window to reach out. And I've never been a guy that, you know, overly plays the field in terms of like, oh, let me try to hear from, you know, 5, 6 different teams. It was just, hey, who has the most interest? And it was absolutely Saskatchewan and Ottawa. So again, it wasn't like I had to, you know, choose between all these different teams. It was just, hey, you know, I get a real sense that these two organizations are definitely the highest, and I just wanted to prioritize those two.
It seems like another one of your priorities was the potential path to playing time. And some people would look at it multiple different ways. You could have been the heir apparent in Saskatchewan to Trevor Harris, but you also signed a one-year deal in Ottawa. So depending what happens with his career, there's a possibility to go back to Saskatchewan, but you go to Ottawa. So how did that possible playing time factor play a role in your decision?
I mean, you can say that for sure. I mean, but at the end of the day, I mean, you know who, you know, the nine guys in this league are, and they're all great players, and backing up Trevor Harris was awesome in itself as well. And I remember being there, you know, thinking like, man, I got a lot to learn from this guy. And, you know, the vibe that I got, you know, just being there is like, man, this is Trevor Harris's football team. And he deserves everything that's come his way. And, you know, hopefully he plays for a while and he continues to do his thing and stays healthy and feels good about playing ball still. So yeah, again, like, you know, if you try to crystal ball too much about like, oh, well, if I go here and then I go here, I might increase my likelihood of getting on the field. I've really started to view the CFL as really a year-to-year thing. And it's like, you know, as long as you come prepared and you show up and you put in the work and you prove to your teammates and your coaches that you're capable of being on the field, then the rest is out of your control anyway. You know, so just being the best I can possibly be. And, you know, Ottawa is going to get that for me. So, you know, whatever happens, you know, over the course of a season is going to happen. That's going to run its course. But again, I just felt like the deal that was presented, the family aspect of it, and just really viewing this thing as a year-to-year process, which is something I've, you know, kind of viewed the CFL as over the years of being a part of it. I just, this is just where I landed.
Was Ottawa clear with you in terms of the plan at quarterback? Did they tell you that Drew Brown is the starter and that you'll be the backup, or could it be a competition in training camp leading into week one?
Yeah. I mean, the message I got, was the message that you hear from, you know, most general managers and most head coaches, is that there's two quarterbacks on CFL teams, man. You know, so that's really the extent of it, you know, at least for now, is, you know, everybody needs two quarterbacks. Everybody needs two guys that can win football games. And I know Drew can win football games. Drew knows I can win football games. So I think the dynamic is going to be totally fine. I mean, we have a great history with one another. We talk about all kinds of things together in the off season, and we share similar hobbies, and we both got young families. So the dynamic between him and I is going to be great, because we're both guys that believe that we can play winning quarterback. I think we view the game very similar as well, which I'm sure we'll find out more and more as we work together. But yeah, I mean, the message is pretty consistent across the league. You need two guys that can step in and play. And I'll be ready to go for whenever that day comes, man. I don't know when it's going to come, but I'm ready to go.
You mentioned the CFL being year to year, and Trevor Harris at one point, it's kind of wild to think about it now, was a backup in the league with the Montreal Alouettes and then becomes a Grey Cup champion with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Did you talk about that with Trevor Harris during your year in Saskatchewan, how you can go from being a backup to a starter again?
I definitely talked to him about just like the career path and how, you know, you can really.
Suffering from seasonal irritants? As the pollen count rises, support your immune system with Quiksilver Scientific Cystaid, a targeted blend of nutrients and botanicals designed to help maintain healthy histamine balance and everyday comfort. Quiksilver Scientific Cystaid works with your body's natural response to seasonal environmental challenges, so you can feel your best all season long. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You know, be here in terms of like where you're at in the league and how you're viewed, you know, for him, especially, like he would tell me about like, man, it took me a while to get my foot in the door as a franchise guy, you know, and then I was, and then I kind of got moved around a little bit. And then there was, you know, a point in time where it's like, well, I don't know if Trevor's a franchise guy after all. And the message that he always shared with me, it was always very consistent, is like, you know, you just keep playing the part of being a franchise quarterback constantly, and just the way that you prep and you work and the way you treat your teammates and the way that you practice and all those things. And then, you know, eventually you're going to find yourself out in the field with an opportunity to either win a game or, you know, win multiple games or, you know, whatever. And you need to be ready for that. And I think he's the perfect example of that. You know, he's had all kinds of opinions about him over the course of his career. And he's obviously been valued differently over the course of his career. And I just think he's a great example of that. So we definitely had plenty of conversations about, you know, just kind of being here sometimes and then being here and then being back up here. And he's just like, you know, you can ride that emotionally if you want, or you can just take it for what it's worth and just say, hey, it's a 9-team league with constant change and a lot of 1-year contracts and a lot of win now mentalities. And sometimes the patience is there and sometimes it's not. And it just is what it is, but you just keep being the best player you are. And that was always the message for him. And it made me feel really confident about that. You know, just seeing a guy like him who's so good and also had to go through some trials as well. So yeah, that was a big piece of my growth for sure.
It seems like a simple slam dunk question, but Jake Mayer obviously would like to be a starter in the CFL again, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've never felt like I've lost that ability or lost that, you know, being that caliber of player. But I understand the nature of the beast. I understand that, you know, my days in Calgary, you know, we didn't win enough football games. Definitely games where I didn't play well enough to earn that right. And this is where I'm at right now in my career. And again, if I've learned anything about the CFL, it's that just because you're in this position now doesn't mean that you can't grow yourself out of it and continue to put the work in and play better and play your way, you know, to, you know, where you want to be ultimately one day. And that's being a leader of a franchise again. So I don't know when that day comes. I know that I'm Ottawa Red Black right now. And I'm more concerned, truthfully, just on having a good day one at camp. And then, you know, just kind of roll from there and see where I fit with the Red Blacks. And I look forward to that.
And you're still young, Jake. It's not like you're Trevor Harris or Bo Levi Mitchell, who went through these kind of things in their mid-30s. You're in your late 20s.
I know. I feel like I've lived a full CFL life in like 5 years. Like I've been the young backup with no expectations, and they think, oh, he's pretty good. And then you get your opportunity to be your own franchise guy and it doesn't go the way you want it. And then, you know, you go, you know, you're back to being a backup, and then you kind of bounce around. So I feel like I've gotten just about every label so far in terms of like young up and comer to franchise guy to maybe he's just a backup, whatever, man. Like it is what it is. Yeah, people can label it however they want. I feel pretty good as a player, and I just look forward to just earning trust of teammates again and just trying to be as best as I can for those guys.
You took over for a future Hall of Famer in Calgary, spent a year behind another future Hall of Famer, at least in my opinion, in Trevor Harris in Saskatchewan. Are they alike at all behind the scenes in their preparation styles, or are they just completely different?
Here's what I would say, like in terms of things that alike, both are highly revered by their teammates. You know, like just like the respect level for both of them is really, really high and genuine and easy guys to follow, I'd say, in terms of like their similarities. Another similarity would be just hyper competitive, like can't do anything, you know, just for fun or just, you know, whatever. Like it has to be competitive, and they don't like losing, and they're going to make sure in their own way that they are competing to the best of their ability because they don't like losing ever. In terms of their prep, they're different. In terms of, yeah, like personalities, definitely different. But those two similarities for sure. And I think when you're playing quarterback, if those are the two things that those two guys have in common, then you're on the right track. And that's why, to your point, that they're Hall of Famers, you know, because they're super competitive and they're super easy to follow. They're great leaders, like easy to play with. I guess that goes a long way in professional football, man. So they got that going.
Jake, you were one of, I believe, 4 Saskatchewan Rough Riders, former Riders, to go to the nation's capital, AJ Allen, CJ Revis, Hubbacock Maldonado being the others. Were you guys talking about this when the window opened that you were all perhaps going to end up there?
Man, no. To be honest with you, just because I had no idea like where they were at in their process, you know, and if they, you know, were trying to either go back or test free agency. I will say I did have a little bit better idea that, you know, potentially maybe AJ, you know, might have wanted to look around a little bit to see, you know, see what was potentially out there. But no, I had no idea that, you know, Ottawa would come knocking for basically all four of us. But, you know, I think the organization looked at last year's Rough Rider team and said, hey, there's a lot of championship caliber players over there that, that are going to be in free agency. And, you know, part of, building a championship team is trying to fill your roster with as many guys that have been there and done that and been a part of those cultures and know what it's supposed to look like and feel like. So kudos to the organization for making that happen and bringing some of these guys in. And I have good relationships with all of them, and it'll be really cool to, you know, start something new and try to build this thing up.
As a quarterback, Jake, when you look at a receiving group like what the Ottawa Redblacks have across the board, Eugene Lewis, Justin Hardy, Aiden Eberhardt comes over in free agency, Khalil Pimpleton, Keelan White, those are the likely starters for this group, plus some of the talented backups behind them. Does that draw you to want to play on an offense like that?
Man, like, I feel like across the league, just the depth and the quality of players is just getting better and better and better. And I've always been, yeah, big fans of all the guys that you just named. Like, and they're all good at their own little thing. And, you know, just watching a guy like, you know, Hardy on film, just like all the little things and just how good he is at route running and understanding coverages and just his ability to get open. And just, you can just tell like the toughness that he plays with. And obviously Gino has been, you know, one of the best players in the CFL for years now. And then you got those young explosive guys like Pimpleton and Keelan White's a big sky guy. He went to the University of Montana. So I kind of know where, you know, what level of ball he's from. The receiver room is definitely going to be a strong suit for the Ottawa Redblacks this year. And I wish I could speak more on behalf of them, but I got to introduce myself to them first and get to know them. And I think it'll be really fun.
I've heard Ryan Dinwiddie and Mark Mueller are pretty tight. Do you think there will be much change in the offensive playbook that you have to learn going from Saskatchewan to Ottawa?
Yeah, I mean, playing for Dave and Mueller and now Dinwiddie, there is, a very, very similar tree. And then there, each guy has their own, like, you know, from that tree, it's like their favorites, you know, like, well, from this system, this is what I really lean into the most. This is what I believe in. This is what I really like doing. In terms of terminology, it's pretty similar. There are just some communication things and some certain verbiage and the way that, you know, formationally we organize things that are a little bit different right now, just off of meeting with coach last week. But should be a very simple transition. I mean, this is year six for basically a system that I grew up in. So, I think it'll be pretty seamless.
You mentioned meeting with Ryan Dinwiddie last week. How many meetings take place in the off season that fans don't know about? I think a lot of people focus obviously on training camp and the preparation that goes on there. But as a quarterback, Jake, what are you doing from a meeting standpoint to prepare for the season?
Yeah. I mean, for one, you're constantly like bouncing ideas off each other back and forth just through text messages, just randomly throughout the day, whether it's early in the morning or at night, or, you know, I think that happens a lot and probably more often than people think. And then you get on your off season Zoom calls to, you know, really go over, like, you know, if this is your second or third year in the system, maybe you go over some, you know, system wrinkles or like things like, hey, here's some new stuff that we didn't do last year that we're really going to dive into. And you have a lot of conversations about the new stuff that you're going to add for the year or what you want to, you know, look into. But then, you know, once you have all that squared away, then it's just, you know, going through your installs on your own, taking it one at a time, learning the system, understanding, you know, what it is you need to know on a play-to-play basis. And if you have any questions, those guys are really easy to reach out to and get a hold of. So hopefully that answers your question. It's just a lot of back and forth dialogue and then going over your installs, making sure you're ready with the book.
What was it like for you, Jake, to say goodbye to the teammates and the people in Saskatchewan after winning a Grey Cup championship?
Man, not easy. Not easy at all. You know, there's some guys over there that I would consider family, to be honest with you. I really believe in Coach Mace and Mueller and those guys. I mean, they took me in when I was traded, you know, so, and made sure that I was taken care of and valued me to be the guy that stepped in if anything happened to Trevor. And, for them to put that faith in me on a team that was definitely championship caliber, that meant something to me. So, yeah, definitely not easy. I love those guys. We're moving on, and they'll move on as well. And we're not going to be thinking much about each other when it comes to season. I think we'll root for each other quietly, but we have some things to worry about on our own at this point.
What's it like for a player, Jake, to go from making a home base in Saskatchewan, let's say, to doing that in Ottawa? I think a lot of times, this is why I ask the question, fans just see players as stars and names on a board that they want their team to acquire. But there's a human element to this. You're changing cities. And as you mentioned, family was a big factor in your decision to sign with the Red Blacks.
Yeah, I think going from Calgary to Saskatchewan was a pretty, big difference. Although it was pretty simple life in Saskatchewan. It was like, just spend your day at the facility, grab yourself something to eat, hang out with your boys, and there wasn't a ton of distractions. There wasn't like a bunch of things you had to learn about. There's a couple little places where you got to eat here, you got to try this, or whatever. But like, we had a ton of distractions. I think moving to this new city out in Ottawa will be an adjustment, just because it's much bigger and you got to know your way around town and know where to be and understand the traffic schedules and just things like that, and trying to figure out where to live probably be a little bit tougher. Just trying to figure out how that's going to be taken care of. So this will probably be a bigger adjustment than it was moving to Saskatchewan. But yeah, there is a human element, and I got to figure out if there is direct flights from Arizona to Ottawa. And if there's not, I got to make sure that my wife and the little one aren't on a 13-hour travel day to come see me, because that would not work. So got to figure that out.
That sounds long and not fun. So yeah, hopefully you find some direct flights to Ottawa. Jake, thank you so much for joining us, shedding some unique insight into your process and your new start with the Ottawa Redblacks.
Thanks a lot, Don. Appreciate you, man.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity, and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity, and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.